Alleluia, Alleluia. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Alleluia. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As human beings, we do not deal well with uncertainty. We naturally want to know what is happening in our lives and in the world around us in a way that we can predict and build our choices and decisions around. Higher levels of uncertainty easily lead to higher levels of stress and anxiety, which has become clear over these past weeks of living through the coronavirus pandemic. There is uncertainty about the virus itself, where exactly it came from, and whether we will ever be free of it. There is economic uncertainty about the future, with differing predictions for economic growth or contraction. There is moral uncertainty about whether certain actions are right or wrong, sending children back to school, returning to the workplace, getting into a car to avoid public transport. All this uncertainty is hard to live with. Many of us were hoping for some certainty about the future when we listened eagerly to the Prime Minister's announcement last Sunday, but it is clear that the virus prevents this. All we can do is make our best guess and take each day as it comes. As someone who has spent many years studying, researching, and teaching philosophy, I can also say that there is a good side to uncertainty. When we are uncertain about something, whether it's the answer to a philosophical question or one of the forms of uncertainty surrounding this pandemic, we tend to treat the issue with openness and curiosity. We realise that we might be wrong and that we do not have it all worked out. We become aware that there is a limit to what we can know and that we might need to change our minds. These human qualities of openness, curiosity, and intellectual humility are an important part of the study of philosophy. And they are not only available to a select few or a philosophical elite. The Greek philosopher Socrates would famously talk to anyone, believing that all human beings were capable of such qualities if asked the right questions. Sadly, the authorities of his day did not receive his ideas with the same openness. He was famously put to trial and executed, in part because this practice led the Athenian authorities to accuse him of introducing novel and potentially dangerous ideas. 4 centuries after the death of Socrates, the Apostle Paul also found himself on trial in Athens, which by then was one of the intellectual hubs of the Roman Empire. As the birthplace of philosophy, and perhaps as a testament to the influence of Socrates, we hear in the book of Acts that the Athenians have developed these qualities of openness, curiosity, and intellectual humility. They would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. Although a deeply religious society, as Paul points out, they were prepared to accept that they didn't know everything, that there could be other ways to understand God, and they even constructed an altar to an unknown God, just in case. This reminds me of something called Pascal's wager, the idea that we should hedge our bets towards the idea that God exists, just in case this turns out to be true. The streams of Greek philosophy we hear about in the reading had what we would now call coping strategies for living with uncertainty. For the Epicureans, the answer was to find pleasure in the small things we can control as a way of coping with the big things that we can't, like enjoying a beautiful walk in the sunshine, even if the world around you seems to be falling apart. For the Stoics, it was about building resilience, remaining steadfast and calm in the face of uncertainty, epitomised today in the classic British saying, "Keep calm and carry on." These streams of ancient philosophy may offer wisdom for our present age of uncertainty. And this philosophical spirit of openness, curiosity, and intellectual humility also created the perfect environment for news of Paul's seemingly strange teaching about the good news of Jesus and the resurrection to spread and take root in the ancient world. Paul explains that this teaching is not as strange as it seems. The Athenians are already prepared to accept that there is an unknown God. Their own poets speak of a God in whom we live and move and have our being. This provides an opening for Paul to explain that the God of Christianity is not just one deity among others, but the God who created the world and everything in it, the one who gives life and breath and all things, the one indeed in whom we live and move and have our being. Paul picks up that in their search for an unknown God, the Athenians are still searching for something more, and his lived experience of Christianity enables him to minister to their searching. This rings true to my own experience. I found that no amount of philosophical study could satisfy my soul's longing for something more. Ultimately, only God could. A less famous but more profound saying of the philosopher Pascal is this: "There is an infinite abyss within the human soul, reserved for God alone." I believe that it is only through knowing God in Christ that this abyss can be filled. In providing the identity of the unknown God, you would think that Paul is closing down this spirit of openness, curiosity, and intellectual humility. But Christianity at its best is not a dogmatic religion that insists on certainty. It is a relational religion that invites us to wonder, to question, to remain open to what we don't know as well as what we do. A famous work in the mystical tradition of Christianity is called The Cloud of Unknowing, precisely because, as many Christians discover, the more we delve into the mystery of knowing God, the more we discover just how much is still unknown. We realise that it is possible to be both deeply religious and also prepared to live with uncertainty. But this is not to say that Christianity is just one philosophy among others. Far from it. The novel claim of Christianity to be a religion of love is what makes it stand out. To their surprise, the Athenians discovered that their unknown God was in fact a relational God, a personal God we can connect to in prayer, a God who has revealed himself in the person of Jesus and who has demonstrated in practical, costly terms just how far a human life filled with love can lead. The new commandment Jesus leaves his disciples is this: love one another as I have loved you. In Jesus, God's infinite love becomes concrete and real, and we are asked to follow in this way of love, however we can, by keeping the commandment to love one another, enabling God to live in us and through us. Among all the uncertainty caused by the coronavirus pandemic, there has still been this great clarity that human beings fundamentally are created for love. We have all noticed a spirit of love moving among us, in the selflessness of medical staff and carers of all types, in the neighbourliness and community spirit on our streets, in the generosity of time and resources given by so many, and in countless other ways. When we listened to the Prime Minister's announcement last Sunday, I'm sure most of us were not all that concerned about when we could return to work. We wanted to know when we could finally see our loved ones, our family and friends in person. This reveals to me that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, is hard at work all around us. May we, like Paul, have the courage to point out that this Spirit is the work not of an unknown God, but a God we can know and trust, and a God who provides the spiritual grounding to lead us through this time of uncertainty. Amen.